That denying the Father and the Son means to deny the relationship between Father and Son that the Scriptures teach. And the Scriptures teach that the Father and Son are one. And so there's a unity between the Father and Son. There's a spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Now, again, confessing Jesus, not in the satanic sense of Jesus, yes, I believe he existed or something, or not in the perfectly inadequate sense that people do today. And I say satanic because Jesus, you know, Satan believes in Jesus. But we don't confess Jesus in the way that God says to confess Jesus. Any spirit that does that is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And 2 John 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And when we look at anti, and don't make too much of it, but one thing to remember is the word anti is the Greek particle for instead of. It's a different Christ. It's the ultimate form of idolatry to believe in a Jesus that the Bible does not believe in. So this is where the Bible becomes very particular. And we talk about particular salvation in the sense that God does not accept any other view of Christ than the view that's in the Bible. So that's why Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, we better know who he is, because Peter preached after Pentecost. He said, there's no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. So we cannot follow Muhammad's view of Christ and be saved, or Joseph Smith, that's the Mormon founder, his view of Christ and still be saved. We cannot follow Charles Russell's view as Jehovah's Witnesses or any other view that comes up. We have to look at who Jesus is. If we get that wrong, we get everything wrong. Okay, now, are there any other questions? I shouldn't say any other questions. I haven't heard any questions yet. Okay. Any questions or stuff? I haven't gotten to your... You've done great work, I can see. I've read, glanced over your assignments. I haven't read them yet in depth, but I will do so. I want to ask you, as we still have a little bit of time, do you have questions? Anyone? Questions? This is probably a lot of information, isn't it? Okay. The book is challenging, maybe. Again, it's an introductory book. It's not really in a lot of depth. But, you know, it gives lots of scripture, which is really helpful. Do you have, anyone here have any ideas yet what you want to do for a paper? Okay, let's hear your idea. I think would be a very good thing. Now, a couple things you need to know. Grudem is a Calvinist. Yeah, but his sinner's prayer thing is not a Calvinist thing. Charles Finney was a Presbyterian. He lived around the time of Campbell. And Finney was, as a Presbyterian, began to start to use different methods. This is kind of a long story, but to make a long story short, he broke from Calvinism in the sense that he believed that you had to emotionally manipulate people into accepting Christ. He invented the idea of coming forward. It wasn't a Christian church. He invented that to come down to the mourner's bench and to pray through. And he was condemned by Calvinists of his day. Okay, and I was taught in school, because I went to Manhattan Christian College, that was Calvinism. Okay? So I've had to unpack what I thought Calvinism was myself. Because Calvinism is not beyond critique. I'm not saying that. But you want to make sure you go after what Calvinism really is. The sinner's prayer, for instance, I heard a guy in Toronto at a Christian church say, everyone close your eyes, bow your head, and raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus. And that was one of our churches. And I think that's not good, okay? But neither would a real Calvinist wouldn't think that either. Okay, so you want to unpack that. But that'd be a good paper. I got lots of resources. Okay, so I want to make sure if you take on something, you take on the issue. You should do a little research, just a Google search of Finney and Calvinism, because I don't appreciate Finney at all. But they called that, there are a couple of things going on in the 19th century. Charles Spurgeon, you know Spurgeon, he was writing about, he wrote, no, it wasn't Spurgeon, I'm sorry, he wrote about something else. I can't remember the name of the book, and I may not be able to get it until I get back to Canada, about hyper-Calvinism. And much of what I was taught was Calvinism, was hyper-Calvinism. Where Calvinism doesn't do evangelism, where Calvinism doesn't, Calvinism is this, whereas Calvinists of that day were fighting hyper-Calvinism. And Finney was one of the things they were fighting against. So Finney being a Presbyterian, Campbell's being a Presbyterian, they made that leap of, you know, they were Presbyterians, right? So before they, you know, abandoned that. So Finney also abandoned Presbyterianism, actually. He abandoned Calvinism, just only went a different route. So the emotionalism, the sinner's prayer, the mourner's bench, the uncertainty of all those things was actually not mainline Calvinism. Just to throw that out. Mm-hmm. How to give an honest invitation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How to give an honest invitation. You know what? That's fantastic, and I want you to work on that. The Elwell has an article in there on Arminianism, and I think it's by Packer, J.I. Packer, who is a Calvinist. Okay, but read the article on Arminianism before you go any further. Okay, and then, yeah, you'll come back to that. What's that? In Elwell, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, and okay, now I'm looking at the classroom full of nervous students there. Have you three given any thought to your papers?
And then we got them everywhere up here.
Now you have to speak up because the volume's not working very well for you guys. Okay. Do you want me to assign ideas to you? About Psalms? Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, science, okay. Yeah, okay. And actually, Grudem has some good things to say about that. He has some good guidance on that. Actually, some very helpful things. The reason I'm asking about your papers is I don't want you to struggle alone because I am nuts about giving out information. If I can give you guys some resources, I don't want you to struggle on that. Your library may not be just exactly state of the art. there may not be all the newest stuff. And of course, I have something like 4,000 books or more, actually 5,000, I think, on my Logos Bible software. Okay, and a lot of that stuff is like Logos gives it to you, and I don't read Latin, so I don't even want to use those, but an awful lot of resources that I can help you with. Okay, either of the other two of you, science, whatever. Okay, I haven't put much time into what your paper is, you say? Okay. well, times, we live in time, and time runs out. So, hop to it. And Justine. Hi, Justine. Well, not off the top of my head, but give me your ideas in an email, okay? And I will try very hard to return those emails to you with some suggestions, okay? I'm wanting you to be able to think of an idea, you know, do some basic research on it, and pull together some ideas. You don't have to agree with me, or I don't have to agree with you. Just make sure your arguments are somewhat coherent. Or you could, you know, just a simple thesis statement, okay? If you were doing a subject of, okay, here's an idea. Speaking in tongues is a phenomenon that Christians should expect to practice today. Now, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying that's a thesis statement. Okay, show me from the Bible and from theological writings that, you know, what makes sense with that. Or to go even, see, I don't know, has anyone here had Greek? Okay, because a lot of that, you know, some things just get cleared up with some language, right? But you could do something like that. So you won't do an exegetical kind of thing. A lot of your work will be trying to find things in the scriptures. Do you have, any of you have Bible software on your smartphones or computers? Okay. You guys, two of you have Macintoshes, so you got amazing stuff. Okay. I think there's a link. If you go to the, you know, the webpage where I keep sending you for new material? I think you scroll down. There's somewhere on there a program called eSword, which is free. You can download it, a Bible version, or you can go, what is it, Bible Gateway? So you can do a lot of research on Bible Gateway. You need to get familiar with that. I mean, eventually you'll want to maybe invest in some Bible software. I think Grant McDonald uses BibleWorks, which is really good. Logos is more expensive, but if you're going to be doing this the rest of your life, you know, it's cheaper than books. And the neat thing is, like, if I need to find out every book in a 5,000 book library that addresses a subject, I can find that out in a matter of seconds instead of a matter of days. When I was a graduate student, while I was in class, my wife was in the library doing bibliographic work for me. I'd give her a subject. I'd ask her to find all the books and articles. That was allowed. I mean, I wasn't cheating, but my poor wife was sitting there going through card catalogs and looking up a Hebrew word, you know, on redemption or something like that. And now, you know, in a few seconds on a computer, you guys have got it made. So, I think the very most, see, it's all different packages. There's a sale on right now. I think it's like a couple hundred bucks to get started. But they have a free book every month. And then a companion to it for like $1.99. So once they got you hooked, but the thing about Logos is not just the books, it's the data sets they have. They have ways of forming their data that's just fantastic. So go to Logos, and I tell them that you're a student. There's a student discount. Okay, it's a significant academic discount, which is one of the reasons I teach at MCC, because I get it too. So you get an academic discount, and you know, if you plan on being a Christian all your life, it'd really be helpful. And I think, well, you know, so it'd be a priority. I would buy that before I buy a video game or, you know, a new car or groceries, you know, silly things. So, yeah. And if you actually, Tim, if you're a full-time salaried person, I think you can take it off as an employee deduction on your income tax tools. And you have to have somebody from your board sign that you are required to have these tools. So, or you get an allowance, maybe a book allowance. Yeah, look into it. That's right. You could look into something. Yeah, there's something like that. And before you buy it, call their toll-free number and talk to somebody. And you tend to get better deals that way. And there's a lot of, it's a fun program, and there's like daily blogs, and there's all kinds of stuff that's kind of like free stuff on Logos. And there's user groups. You can ask the author of books things. Some of them have their own pages in Logos, so you can write to the authors. I tend to read authors who are dead, so that doesn't work. But for those who are still alive, you can have a lot of fun with that. Okay. So spend a significant amount of time with your coffee and a thought and a notepad, and start writing down some things that you'd like to do on a paper, okay? And, you know, Google is your friend. Of course, you realize that Google can also lead you far, far astray. If you come to a certain subject and you think you'd like to do that, I can give you some websites that can help you out. Okay? Any other... Yeah. Well, you know, I that's not original with me. I think a Calvinist actually wrote an article about that. How do I give an honest invitation? You know, I identify more with Calvin than I do with Arminius, personally. So I'm something of a Calvinist, and yet I think we still have this, in a sense, free will too. It's a long story, you know, how I've come to where I am. I think sometimes in theology we tend to do caricatures, and that's a problem. But you know, just read up on some stuff, and yeah, I'm not out to make a Calvinist out of anybody or anything out of anybody. I'm just out to teach the scriptures. So that's where we are. All right. Okay. So I'm going to say sayonara. I'm about out of voice. If we're good, if you don't feel cheated that we didn't go long enough. Later today, I don't know how long it will take me, I'm going to process the MP3s, and they will be up there as well. So you can go through the slides, but they won't be attached to the slides. So you can listen and advance the slides as I say, let's look at that slide, right? Okay. All right. So we will see you later. And thank you very much. And I don't know where I'll be next week, but I'll be here. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.